excited about today's podcast. We have a good friend and an amazing professional out there, Adam Markwood, who is with Wishneff and Associates, and he is an expert on tax credits. And the reason I wanted you all to kind of hear his story and what's going on is that we know in our campaigns with some of our clients and just talking to friends at other nonprofits, that it's getting harder and harder to raise money from the traditional sources, right? Our traditional grateful donors and families, even foundations and corporate monies, they're just harder to come by. So how do you look beyond that initial kind of pool of monies and figure out ways to fund your project? And one that has been out there forever, and I don't know why, maybe Adam could speak to this, but a lot of nonprofits kind of shy away from tax credits. And I don't know if it's they just think, well, heck, I'm a nonprofit, so I can't take advantage of that. It's just we're too small, regardless. And I know there's a couple different kinds of tax credits available. So instead of the kind of the usual give and take, I'm going to let Adam kind of introduce himself and talk a little bit about these tax credit programs, and then we'll go from there and see how the conversation flows. Adam, thank you for joining me today.
Yeah, pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
So talk to me, what are, if I am a social service agency in Atlanta and I have some capital projects for my agency's building, is that something that I should be reaching out to you and say, hey, let's see if there's availability, for tax credits? Is it expensive to try to go down this road?
Yeah, no, good question. So, and I think there's kind of a multifaceted answer, I guess. So, you know, we're always happy to look at any given project. It doesn't take more than a quick conversation to say, yeah, this could make sense for, you know, this tax credit program or that tax credit program, or no, it doesn't make sense, and here's why. And like I said, you know, we work with really three or four major credit programs. Now there's a bunch of state versions of some of these programs, you know, so we've done work in, I think, going on 40 states now. And so we're constantly, you know, working with new state programs, and there's new programs being developed by various states really at any given time. Like California just instituted a historic tax credit program. Although I don't think it's quite in effect yet, but yeah. And so we can analyze that really quickly. And then, you know, at least specific to our firm, the way we generally work is we work on a success-based fee, because we recognize that a lot of these projects, you know, it may not be a guarantee that they can get tax credits. They may not have a bunch of upfront cash to be spending on feasibility kind of stuff. And so we generally work on a success fee where we'll get hired. And if you get tax credits, then we get, you know, a piece of what our clients get. And if you don't, then we get a piece of nothing. So we at least mitigate that risk in terms of the upfront expense of analyzing and hopefully accessing and monetizing the credit programs.
Sure. And you know, I think just from a kind of a, I don't know, it's not transparency sake, but how I met Adam and Wishneff and Associates, one of our partners, Barnum Museum, which is this amazing museum dedicated to P.T. Barnum, in Bridgeport, Connecticut. I was there for a campaign and a board meeting, and Adam's colleague walked in and kind of went through the process, and my eyes lit up in that this was a $60 million project, and based on demographics, building, the project itself, there was going to the possibility of close to $10 million was going to come into the museum through tax credits. That's a big piece of this project cost, right? And and so my first thing was, it's too good to be true. And then the second thing was, well, this is going to cost, you know, an arm and a leg. And then to find out that it's success-based, it just, wow. It you know, and I've been doing this a long time. I've been in the nonprofit world for almost 30 years. And, you know, I've heard about it here and there, but never really kind of dug into it until a few years ago. And now we've kind of built into our campaign readiness or feasibility studies that, hey, let's look at the possibility of either historic or new market tax credits. And I love the historic tax credits in that they're not competitive. And a lot of times the federal will match, like you were saying, the state money. So just a really amazing, amazing opportunity. And we've gone on to recommend Adam and his team to a number of our partners throughout the United States. So
yeah,
it's just something I believe in.
The nice thing is, you know, we've had projects get as much as half, if not more, of the project paid for with credit programs. Now, that just to manage expectations a bit, that is unique. I mean, that's the exception, right, not the rule, but it's usually at least 20%, even if we're only accessing one program. So just to get a little more specific, the major programs we work with are historic tax credits. And again, I think there's like 36 historic tax credit programs now. State historic tax credit, and there's obviously the federal, and then new market tax credits, which, as you already mentioned, so unlike the federal historic program, which is not competitive. So if you renovate a historic building, and there's a pretty broad definition of what is historic. So I wouldn't, you know, just anybody listening that may have a building that's only 50 years old or whatever, even 45 years old, I would still at least, you know, let us kind of analyze it on the front end and see, because, you know, recently we got a building that was, I think it was about 45 years old on the National Register. And so you'd be surprised what is considered historic. So it's always worth exploring. And then, but again, you know, the new market program is competitive, but we've had a decent amount of success getting new market allocation for projects all over the country. And then again, there's state historic programs. Some are competitive, some are not. So like, the Virginia program is not competitive. The Connecticut program is.
Connecticut is not. Oh, it is competitive. The historic tax credits in Connecticut is competitive.
All well, right. It's competitive in the sense that there's a cap amount. I don't think it's okay. Yeah. So I think it's more like a reservation. And at first, maybe it's first come, first serve. But, and it, you know, every state's different. They all have their own dynamics. So like Texas is totally unlimited. West Virginia technically has a cap, but I think they generally don't hit it because it's a really high cap, which is great. So anyways, it depends on the state, but whatever credit programs are applicable, you know, we'll help analyze. And again, you know, in some states, like in West Virginia, we did a theater. I think they spent about $16 million or so, and they got about $7 or $8 million covered from state historic credits, federal historic credits, and new market credits. So they're definitely substantial subsidies.
In case somebody out there is not familiar with tax credits, can you kind of give us the 101 class 101 version of what a tax credit is and how a nonprofit could take advantage of that?
Yeah, no, good question. I think it kind of gets to my answer to your initial question as to why don't more nonprofits take advantage of this? And I think there is an understandable kind of intuitive response. Well, you know, I'm a nonprofit. How could I benefit from tax credits? And so that, you know, that totally makes sense. The way, so just to take a really high level explanation, a tax credit is a dollar for dollar reduction in what you owe the government, be it federal government or state government. So obviously as a nonprofit, you know, they'd have no direct use of that since they don't pay taxes. Now the reality is through a structure that it depends on the state program, the exact structure, but the kind of practical reality of what happens is that there's groups that can use these credits, you know, for-profit companies, high net worth individuals, you know, everybody from Fortune 500 companies to the big national banks down to little local banks with one branch, and, you know, individuals that may be donors to the project. We've had the tax credit investors. So it's a really broad swath of groups that can use the credits, and really just anybody who makes sufficient money to owe some taxes that they'd like to mitigate or offset using these credit programs. So again, you know, as long as it's a historic renovation, you know, it's you're probably eligible for the historic credit. And if there's a state program, the state credit as well. And then new market tax credits is based on census tract. So you need to be in an eligible census tract, which, you know, we can analyze pretty quickly just based on the address. And then it becomes a function of what the use of the project is. And so the intent of the new market program is generally to benefit distressed communities and low-income people in those communities. And there's a bunch of different ways to check that box. And so, you know, because we work on a success fee, we like to analyze on the front end, you know, exactly what the intended use is going to be and make sure that it makes sense. So, but anyways, back to your initial question about just general explanation. So the way you actually turn it into cash for nonprofit, for tax exempt entities. And so it's not just nonprofits. You know, we've worked with a lot of universities, municipalities, institutional type organizations, quasi-governmental organizations, municipalities, all different types of tax exempt entities can use these programs. And a high level explanation as to how it actually turns into cash is, so you've got this, let's just say you spend $5 million on a historic renovation. That'll generate $1 million federal historic tax credit. What happens is, on the federal historic tax credit side, is an investor will come in and invest in your project in exchange for those tax credits, among some other benefits. So they'll become a real partner in the project, where they'll get the tax credits in exchange for a significant payment. You know, maybe let's just say 80 cents. So in that example, you know, you've got $1 million of tax credits. Somebody comes in and pays you $800,000 for those. But then it's also, it's a little bit more of an involved relationship. You know, so they're a real partner in the project, and they have some other possible benefits and associated risk. And so that, you know, that gets into more detail than we need to talk about here. But some programs are not that way. So some programs are, state programs are called certificated or freely transferable. Like Connecticut is this way, Texas is this way, Kansas, Missouri, where you literally get a certificate from the state that says, you know, you did the project correctly. Here's $1 million of state, you know, Iowa state tax credits. And then you can just sell that certificate. So it's a very liquid and simple kind of transaction. The federal are a little more complicated, but the practical reality of what's happening is very similar. Same thing on the new market side. You have to, there's really two pieces there. You have to get new market tax credit allocation. So that's part of what we do. And there's a limited amount every year. And then you have to bring in an investor that, buys those tax credits. At the end of the day, with new market tax credits, you're generally looking at, a net benefit of 20% or so of project costs. There is kind of a natural floor for that program. Now, we've done projects as small as $4 million for new market tax credits, but that's kind of the minimum that we see where the numbers make sense. Yeah, so you need to be a little, generally with new markets, you got to be $4 million or higher. Historics is generally a lower threshold, although it does get difficult as you get a whole lot lower than that. But again, we can help analyze that on the front end.
So the Giving Collaborative wants to take advantage of a tax credit. So I reach out to the state or the charity and say, hey, I'm looking at that. And I buy those tax credits 80 cents on the dollar.
Yeah. In certain instances. Now, again, the federal historic program is not quite that simple, but that's a high level, sort of oversimplified way to think of it. Yeah.
Do you see the nonprofits ever kind of stewarding or I don't want to use the word honoring. That seems a little ridiculous. But like, so again, the Giving Collaborative gives Adam Markwood Hospital, $2 million in tax credits. Do they put the Giving Collaborative's name up on the building, or is it usually kind of a ghost kind of exchange?
Right. Yeah. No, it's a good question. So generally, it is the latter. We get pretty creative on all of our projects to try to maximize the benefit, you know, because our fees tied to it. So as part of that work, we've brought in investors that have, you know, are interested in the project, not because of the tax credits, but because maybe they're a major donor or, you know, they have a big presence in town and they want to get some good PR out of it or whatever. So we've had, you know, even Fortune 500 companies and big, you know, giant utilities and stuff come in and pay over well above market for the credits in exchange. Okay. Yeah. In exchange for exactly what you're talking about. So like, there's a project where we did where they have an auditorium in this big, it's a consortium of nonprofits in this big building. And the auditorium is named after the tax credit investor. So those kinds of things are definitely real. We had a gold mine out in Montana that was an investor. They paid above market pricing for the credits and they wanted to help the community. And so it was a nice PR kind of thing. So that on all of our tax exempt sponsored projects, we pursue the connections of our board member, of the board members of our clients, to see, you know, what kind of relationships like that may exist that we could leverage into them being a tax credit investor and maximizing the economics for the project.
If somebody listening or one of my partners is interested in kind of learning more and teasing this out, obviously they could come through us, but is there a phone number or an email that makes sense for people to reach out to you, Adam?
Yeah. Folks are welcome to email me at adam@wishneff, WISHNEFF.com. Or they're welcome to call my number at 540-520-6902.
All right. So it's adam@wishneff.com. So mm-hmm. Reach out to Adam and see where this goes. I think if you are going into any sort of campaign assessment for a building project outside of endowment or programmatic, I think you're not doing your organization justice by not looking at tax credits, whether they're new market or historic. You know, you may not be eligible. That's okay. But at least you're out there, you're looking for alternative revenue streams for your organization to move the project forward. And it's getting harder and harder and harder. So, this is something that I would recommend to everybody out there in the nonprofit world. And frankly, if you're in the for-profit world, there's advantages for tax credits too. That's well beyond my scope, but heck, I'm assuming you could help with that too, Adam. But
we do some for-profit work, but I enjoy the tax exempt projects more. We do some for-profit projects, because they can use them just the same as a nonprofit does. But I enjoy the nonprofit work a lot more.
Good. So, I encourage you to reach out to Adam and his team to find out a little bit more. You know, this was a 10-minute introduction to tax credits in the nonprofit world. So reach out to Adam, reach out to myself or anybody on the Giving Collaborative, and we will connect the dots and we will be connectors for you all. Again, thank you for listening to The Philanthropist. This was a little off our normal session, but I think it was really important and something that people just need to know about. And I know that, we're going to be promoting it and telling people to figure it out and see if there's a way it can help them. So with that, thank you for listening. If you're interested in being a guest on The Philanthropist, you can send your comments to info@givingcollaborative.com. Again, thank you and have a great rest of your week, everybody. Thanks.